The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Here we are, still journeying through the season of Easter. We had a school mass earlier this week, and one of the first questions for the little ones before mass started was, we had a little extra time, why is Easter more than just one day? And so we fast with the church, but we also feast with the church. And I don't know about you, but this Easter season, in a way, like no other season, and for me, this is my third Mass this weekend. But to hear the living Word of God that comes to meet each one of us in the today of our life, touches the depths of our hearts in ways, as many ways as there are people in the world. My heart is burning. My heart is burning like those who are on the way to Emmaus, burning. Is your heart burning? With that desire like they had after they walked with our Lord, they were downcast disciples. And he met them on the way. And he didn't come to scold them. He actually stepped in their midst and listened to them and said, "What are you downcast about?" Their response was, "Are you the only foreigner in these lands that has no idea that what happened, this Jesus of Nazareth, who we had our hope in, this Jesus who was going to be Messiah, who was going to save us, that they crucified him, they did all these things, are you like nuts?" And Jesus is walking with them and he goes, "Tell me about it." He didn't say, let me tell you all that. He said, "Tell me about it." Then he opened the scriptures to them. So their hearts were on fire. But then we got to go back and read Luke 24 because this is the close of it. This is the close of it. If they run back to the apostles, but it says their hearts are on fire and they were walking and they were arrived to their location and the sun was setting and Jesus was ready to keep walking. Our risen Lord, who is real, does not impose himself on any of us. He proposes his love to each one of us in the whole world, and he did in such a profound way, going to the cross. And why? Because he wants to remove those infirmities. He was healed us by his wounds. By his wounds we were healed, the wounds of our sin. So he came to take the sin of all humanity, which he did, and he rose. Which was horrific, seeing our Lord crucified on the cross. I've never witnessed a crucifixion. But those first witnesses did. And Jesus, the risen Lord, trying to come to them, trying to help them, trying to give them hope in the midst of darkness, was ready to walk to the next town. He was ready to keep going. And they said, stay with us, Lord. Quédate, Señor, en español. Quédate. Stay with us, Lord. Come into my house, into my home. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, every Mass that we come to is all about an encounter. It's not about pomp and circumstance. It's not about show. We're not processing with the gospel just to put on a show, a performance. We don't have four cameras with a live stream with people even in other nations right now watching or in other states. It's because people are longing for this encounter with Jesus even through technology. And so we hold up the gospel and we turn and the gospel is read as the readings were because it's Jesus speaking to you and me in the today of our life. And what could possibly be his message for each one of us today? Luke 24, verse 48. The last verse and his last words in the gospel today. You are witnesses to these things. You are witnesses to these things. You are witnesses to these things. You and I. It's our time to be witnesses to these things. Father Mike and I, you know, every now and then, for the most time, we go out, like, I'll go to Harris Teeter or different stores or whatever. And when I ever mention stores, it's not an infomercial, it's not a promotion. I did that once in the mountains. I mentioned, like, Lowe's, and someone came up to me and said, but what about Home Depot? You know, so I'm not trying to promote any kind of stores, but, you know, we live a daily life, and we go to different locations, and we encounter, and even when we go out, we're called to be witness to these things. And so Father Mike and I go out, and oftentimes we go out in our collar, we got our collar on, so it's like, here's a big old sign, believer in Jesus Christ, believer in Jesus Christ. But the challenge is it's all the more weighty because if you go to the Harris Teeter and you cop an attitude because you're having a bad day, I mean, people are watching you. You go in that grocery store, you watch, you put your card, and people come by. Sometimes they won't even say hello, but they're from the parish, and they'll look, what's Father buying? I don't know. Sometimes that happens. But anyway, so I went the other day. Every now and then I get these little spontaneous invitations. I like them, and, you know, I'm kind of spontaneous in that way. And someone says, Father, after Mass, would you like to go to Cafe Monte right down the road? Y'all know Cafe Monte. Some of y'all been there, but good breakfast spot. So I go to Cafe Monte, and if you've ever been in there, you go walking in, and there's, like, booths here and a wall here and tables here, and it's kind of hard to find who you're looking for, right? So I was meeting them after the Mass, so I go walking in, and I walk in by the side, the counter, and there's the booth, and I walk back, and I go to the back, and I'm looking for, and I'm like, am I in the wrong place? And I'm, like, looking, and they happen to be on the other side of the booth, but I didn't know. So I go to the back, and I'm walking up there, and then all of a sudden, this lady turns around with her daughter. They're sitting at the table, goes, hey, and I'm like, wow, here's somebody who's I'm able to be a witness to these things to, and maybe they're from the parish or whatever. She goes, hey, excuse me, can you get my waiter, please? We need to pay our bill. She mistook me for one of those servants because I had my sleeve rolled up. She saw the black pants and everything. Hey, can you give me my bill? And I said, so I turned around to her and I said, well, sure. And she saw the collar and she was mortified. She's like mortified. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry, Father. What? No, I'm called here to serve. Let me go get your waiter. I'll see if I can get you a discount too, okay? And so, but it was just one of those beautiful moments in life that we can all have in different ways where there's kind of like a mistake, you know, it's mistaken. But it can turn into a moment of an encounter to be witnesses to the things with joy to our faith. Yeah, sure, let me try to do this for you. Our Lord is looking at you and this day, you and me, and he's inviting us to be witnesses to these things. And we can kind of put the idea of this Jesus who is real. He came to show he was real. Give me some of that food. Let me eat the fish. I'm not a ghost. I'm real. But if you look at all the different accounts of Jesus in the resurrection, it's kind of, each one's kind of different in a way. Open them back up in this season. Let him speak to your heart. Let him open the mind of your heart. To Mary Magdalene, she mistook him as a gardener. What did he look like? to be mistaken as a gardener? If it really was Jesus, and then how did she know that it was Jesus? And then on the road to Emmaus, they thought it was a foreigner. Then there was the story of sitting by the Lake of Tiberias, and they were out fishing. And you have Jesus call from the shoreline, and he says, "My children, have you caught anything?" So maybe he was, I don't know, maybe he was a little older in age, because it said they all came to the fire and they saw him. And when they saw him, nobody dared to ask if it was Jesus. And one of the neat stories on that account is that Peter, and it's kind of odd, he grabbed 153 fish and dragged them to the shore. Now, all those theologians on live stream can send me an email if I'm not theologically correct. But somebody told me that 153 fish was signifying the 153 nations in the world at that time. Bring me the fish so that you can go out and feed the people. So how did they recognize him? Even in the breaking of the bread in the moment, it had to have been his glorious wounds. Had to have been his glorious wounds. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, here is the reality. Here is the answer for our times and all times, because in Hebrews 13, verse 8, through the living word of God, it is said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. And so the answer for our times is Jesus. And as the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us, number 27, speaking about our baptism, which we reflect on, which gives us that grace, that gift of God to go out with courage, to proclaim his good news, to proclaim forgiveness of sins, to proclaim light in the darkness. This encounter with our Lord, it's an encounter he wants for every single human being. And Catechism number 27 says this: the dignity of the human person, everybody created in the image and likeness of God. That means every single being that is breathing on this earth right now, that is walking right now, whether they're in the pew with us, whether they persecute us, whether they love us on our sports teams, in our school, in our place of work, whatever, every single human being walking this earth is radically loved by God with that type of love. And their dignity rests in that they're called to communion with God. But who will bring them into that communion if not us? If not us, who? If not now, when? If not here, where? We are called to be witnesses to these things in our times. It is our time. And we can't look to the past, and we can't point to the future. We embrace it now. Back to the fourth grade in the Mass on Friday. I'm just getting warmed up, by the way. They're fine on live stream. There's someone probably sitting there on their couch with their coffee cup. But they're going to make a spiritual communion. We're going to encounter Jesus, really. We need to pray that our brothers and sisters in Christ are able to come back and receive Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. But God's grace can even bust out through the technology for those who are unable to be here. Many people who are in hospitals who can't be here, different things, and they would long to be here. But God can go with all his grace to whomever he wants, whenever he wants, in whatever way he wants, whether they're believers, whether they're baptized, whatever. He can give that grace, the grace of his love. And we're called to be witnesses to these things. And the fourth graders on Friday were witnesses. Because the gospel on Friday was about the multiplications of loaves. You know, with a little boy who was generous and gave his five loaves. You remember that story, the little boy? Supposedly, in tradition, that little boy was St. Mark, Mark's gospel. Gave his five loaves. He could have made a lot of money that day with all those people waiting to eat. But he gave it to Jesus, and Jesus multiplied and he fed everybody. So I asked the young ones, I said, why do you think during the Easter season that during the week we would have the gospel of the multiplications of loaves? One of the little girls in the front row raised her hand, real confident, and said, oh yeah, Father, the reason for that is because God is just trying to show us through his word that loving as he loves can be easy. Woo! Out of the mouths of babes, loving as he loves can be easy. And we can do that on the playground. We can do that in the classroom. We can do that when we go home. Another young one raised her hand in the back and called the hand, and I'm like, man, these fourth graders just off the charts. And this little one said, well, what Jesus is trying to show us is that through the multiplication of loaves, he's trying to show us that really what he wants to do is he wants to give himself to us in the Eucharist so we have the strength to go out there and share his love with others, because loving Jesus, it can be easy, Father. Wow. It wasn't easy for Jesus on the cross. But it wasn't the nails that kept him, it was his love. And to exercise that level of love. We are witnesses to these things. And I'd like to close on one witness that impacted me in my life. Because sometimes you can talk about the young ones, you can talk about the ones raising their families, but I never will ever get imprinted off my mind, taken off my mind, the image of Helen. See, Helen, when I was growing up in Atlanta, Georgia, she was an orphan. She was about 82 years old when my mom made me one Saturday with my brother. I didn't want to do it. Go down and get her out of her home and move her out of her downtown home. She was an orphan, and move her up to our parish in North Georgia, where the parish helped get her a place to stay. My parents donated their van, and we used the van to go pick her up. My dad drove the van sometimes. They bring Helen in, and Helen always sat in the front row. Well, Helen was an orphan, and she was blind in one eye, and she always carried her oxygen, and she always had her walker. But she had a smile and a twinkle in her eye that would light up the church. And Helen lived to the mid-90s. And I finished high school, and I went to college, and then I was off in the Army, and I came back, and I'd always see Helen in the front row. I went 4 or 5 times with my mom when Helen was close to going to see Jesus. She was close to dying, and I was there seeing her in the hospital bed, and her only desire, her only hope, her only desire, Helen said, was to die in one of the Catholic hospitals in Atlanta. Well, the day came when our Lord called Helen. And my mom or no one was able to get down there at the time. She had been loved on. She had been anointed, everything. Helen wasn't at the Catholic hospital. But we got an account from the doctors and the nurses. Helen, who was an orphan, who was a believer in this thing, who struggled every Sunday to come to Mass and gave her witness, not through her preaching, not through doing ministries, not to do what, but loving Jesus in her life and the twinkle in her eye. Helen passed in that hospital. And the doctors and the nurses asked Helen, what can we do? Nobody's here right now other than us. What would you like us to do? And Helen said, I've got one request. Like, whatever you want, Helen. None of them were Catholic. And she said, pray the rosary with me. And she taught them how to pray the rosary until her final breath. She was a witness to these things. We are called be witnesses to these things.